In this episode of the Back Porch Education Podcast, Jason and Steve talk about some of their favorite Christmas songs.
Steve, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Joy to the world.
You're a mean man, Mr. Grinch.
Oh, Christmas music. Next year, for our next Christmas episode, we can ask, is there a better genre of music than Christmas music?
Well, we could argue the finer points, but right. The fact of the matter is, it's one of those few aspects of the musical world that I would say most people have at least some taste for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably more because of what it indicates than any great love for that particular genre. It's Christmas time, and
right.
So we want Christmas music.
Right.
And so the stores, if anything, drive us crazy.
Sure.
And we have these interesting moments in our culture where a very religious orientation gets the secular treatment, you know.
Yeah.
Some of my students the other day for study hall got a whiteboard going with sort of a NCAA tournament of Christmas songs.
Oh, they got the bracket out.
They got the bracket out.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're going at it. And I come in and they say, "What do you think, Mr. Elliott?" And I said, "Well, I note that of the 32 entries, as best I can tell, only four of these mention Jesus."
Which, so we got the final four.
Religious
Let's
school,
hope they don't play each other early.
Well, I think only one of them maybe made it to the final four.
Oh.
But they were surprised that they had done that.
Mm.
And I guess it was a little surprising to me that there's that many 20-some secular songs out there well-known enough. Because mm-hmm. my world, of course, I'm coming out of a deep tradition of going to church Christmas Eve and having a going caroling with my church even before then. And
right.
my parents singing them around the house and whatnot. And the religious ones were the ones that we focused on.
Right.
But there is a good chunk of rocking around the Christmas tree. And
right.
all that kind of stuff that's kind of grown up. And
Let It Snow, yeah, right.
It's just the necessity of all musicians to put out a Christmas album.
Yeah, it so is.
There's this massive bin of various covers of
Sure, Let everyone It Snow wants to do it, exactly.
The Mistletoe or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is a strange genre, but it's a... And it's... I guess, as you say, ever increasing. But, man, there's some real gems in there, right?
Yep. Well, I jumped at it when you suggested it.
Right.
It is Jason's idea, if anybody needs to blame anyone.
Yes, please.
No, I get excited about it rather quickly. For two main reasons. One, as an educational podcast, the opportunity to discuss music is important to me because I think music is an important aspect to education, and I'll say more about that in a few minutes.
Wow, yeah, you're really laying it down early. Okay.
Well,
it's good.
I got excited because
I love it.
We don't typically get too deep into music.
Sure.
One of the reasons I make my controversial statement is because of how personal music is.
Totally.
And that's the second reason.
Okay.
Is that when you suggested Christmas carols, that takes me to a very personal place. Like
okay.
I said, the COVID has taken away caroling.
Yeah.
And it's killing me because I think this will be the first time in many years that I don't go out caroling with my school. It's a real delight to do that. I enjoy it. It's fun.
Yeah. Who doesn't like giving out wassail?
Or
and
receiving
love
it.
And joy.
No, but the whole experience, the impromptu, often unpracticed, what kind of talent can we pool together, who's going to try the high note on a holy night, and all this kind of stuff, along with the delight of people coming to the front door and being sung to and whatnot. So there's a real...
It's amateur, dude. That's it's so amateur.
And it's pure
right, like
level.
Right. Exactly.
In fact, you mess it up if you start bringing a... a boombox with you or the, some...
Get out of here with your second harmony.
Right. If you have anything more than a pitch pipe to get us started on the right note, you need to go away. Yeah, we're just going to do this thing, okay?
Right. And so when I say amateur, we're tracking, but so that I'm not misunderstood more than usual. I'm not using the term disparagingly.
Right.
I mean, to me, it's ennobling, right?
Right.
Amateur, the one who loves.
Right.
Right. I do it for the love of it.
That's right. That's right. That's
great.
It gives as much back as you give out with it.
And, right.
And so the caroling, Lessons of Carols, is a part of my Anglican tradition.
Hmm.
It's a ubiquitous part of kind of Christmas Day to have it playing in the house and whatnot.
Yeah, right.
And maybe more than any other hymns, they're the ones I could do a pretty good job. I'm not going to try it here on the podcast, but
right, I understand.
But they come to mind. If I hear someone singing Joy to the World, I can jump in without this necessity to have the music in front of me.
Yeah.
Other hymns that I've sung my whole life, I've sung infrequently enough. You know what I'm saying?
We
sing it here and there.
You know the tune. You know the first verse.
The refrain might be in your head, but you need help. Unless you start singing all eight verses of Away in a Manger, I can hang with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's something about that. So that's getting back to my first point, is that there are some things, especially the things that you need to have with you, the academic short list.
Okay.
Like in a mathematics course, there's certain formulas that you just need to have down cold.
Sure.
There's a sort of music that makes it easier. I'm not saying there's a particular tune, but I'm saying if your mind can make it sing, it has it quicker to recall. It's just like you hear the song on the radio and you start singing along with it.
Right.
If there's something to our memory and something to our learning that music enhances. And the church caught that really early.
Thank God, yes.
And has made a heyday out of it.
Right.
To where I'm not being disparaging towards the more modern church music, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
But the ancient church music was so theologically dense.
Yes.
And yet memorable.
Right.
That you could have an 8-year-old singing orthodox notions about the Holy Trinity.
Right, right.
At the level of an 8-year-old's understanding, but the mind is being fed this deep stuff stored there for the rest of its life to be working off of.
Exactly.
And making use of and falling back on.
Mm.
And I think that's a wonderful aspect. You know, I think what we're planning on doing is talking through a few of our favorites, but just as a place to start.
Yeah,
I think the churches and good schools' use of music, it is one of the seven liberal arts.
Right.
It's one of the tools the mind uses to understand the world in which it lives. And I think that, not to go on into Dantean discussions of the harmony of the spheres or whatnot, but we're musical beings.
And it
does us good to hear these words. And I love the seasons of the church, and I love Advent and Christmas and the meditations that have been put to your universal music, right?
That's,
the music is that thing that can reach across even languages and draw us in.
Yeah. We're musical beings. That's a part of man's exercising of his ability, right? I mean, it's a virtue. I think... In particular, memory, right? One of the dominant metaphors of education is impression, right? It's the wax taking the impression.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, staying within that metaphor, music is particularly impressive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As Augustine said, when you sing, you pray twice, right? There's this furtherance of the worship experience that goes beyond just the spoken word. It's the sung word.
It's a sort of like a spiritual groaning? Is that what he's after? Or I don't know.
I don't know that I know completely what he means.
Okay,
I just know that when he said I said, yeah.
Sure, right. I'm with you.
That the singing of a hymn brings with it the word content of the lyric,
right,
with the heart of the note, of the harmony, of the melody,
right?
And so yeah, you kind of mean it more than once. In two ways at yeah. once. And, I like and, that. And that spiritual groaning, or that I could woodenly mm-hmm. recite the Lord's Prayer, mm-hmm. but as soon as you chant it or place it within right. a musical context, it's much harder to be removed from mm-hmm. it. You're bringing yourself further into it.
I think I have a perfect example of that, and I think it's one of the songs that you have brought for us, and that's O Holy Night. The high note, as you mentioned already, right? Yeah. The high note of O Holy Night. I would point to that note and say, you're participating when you say, O night, or when you sing, rather, O night divine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The singer is participating in that proclamation mm-hmm. in more ways than someone who just speaks those words.
Right. No, and it's a crescendo.
Yes. Right?
In music, much more obviously than in even the lyrical word of the poem, because mm-hmm. we could do in that poem, right? It's got the vocative O all over the place.
Oh yeah,
there is a verbal emotional element to it, mm-hmm. but when it's sung, you know,
yeah,
you're headed
There's
up.
No question.
If you're going to do this, you're going to hit that,
right?
And you will feel it. I mean, I only try that in informal. Amateur yeah. settings like caroling.
Sure, sure.
Because if I blow it,
praise God,
it doesn't affect the paycheck in any way, right?
Right.
But if you're in a formal, we've been practicing, and then you blow it,
yeah.
oh, you know, everybody knows mm-hmm. it, and it's kind of like, ah, that's kind mm-hmm. of a downer. Mm-hmm. Now, there's just no downer in caroling.
No.
You can completely Ralph it. You can completely forget the lyric.
Right, right, sure.
And you're singing to people for free and they're loving it.
Right.
And you're singing with people you love. It's okay.
Right.
It's okay. Yeah. So just jumping in, right?
Sure.
You mentioned O Holy Night.
Yeah.
O Holy Night is on my list because of caroling.
Okay.
It's a big deal to me.
Yeah.
And I'm obviously in grief over not going out. Mm-hmm. We can do it in my house, right?
But sure, but there you go.
Going out around the neighborhood's fun.
Yeah.
Taking something as simple and as beautiful as the Nativity,
mm-hmm.
and just going for a spin with it. These days, because of how we live, it for my school, it's loading us up in buses, you know, and
yeah.
then pulling up and unloading and doing the whole thing, and then loading
sure.
back up and whatnot. But we're out around the community.
Yeah,
surprising me. We don't tell them in advance we're coming.
Right.
We do go to a retirement center that knows we're coming.
Yeah.
But even there, the best part of it is not going where the people are sitting waiting for us,
mm-hmm.
but not everybody can come. So what do? We sing a couple walking through
yeah.
the vast, man, this place is massive and has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people living there.
Oh.
And as we walk through singing, you know, they come to their door and it's like being out in the neighborhood, but you're...
Yeah.
You're in an apartment building,
sure,
so to
sure.
speak.
You're in the, yeah, you're in the neighborhood.
The acoustics are much different, I'll tell you that. But the surprise, the fun, the camaraderie, it's just the hot chocolate.
Yeah.
Or
cider.
I'll say, oh, if they'll do that. And this song often is towards the end. You got to warm up for it.
Yeah.
I love the lyrics. I love the theology that it is teaching.
Mm-hmm.
It is in the poetic form. It's trying to draw you to a place.
Okay.
Right. That night. It's to me reminiscent, not as quiet, but the Mary, Did You Know
mm-hmm.
song where you're, it's a contemplative song.
Yes, definitely.
It has a big range to it, which is, if you're an amateur singer, why not see what you can do?
That's right.
Right. I think that it's just a great song that has stuck with me. It's just got a timelessness to it that I think is wonderful.
Oh, absolutely. That one is the depth of the verses too. You know, mm-hmm. you get Behold Your King.
Well,
it's good stuff.
Even messing with the chorus where it isn't just the same,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but a different point is being made.
Right.
He knows our need to our weakness, no stranger.
Right, exactly.
We do this once a year because we think the incarnation is so important to education.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a hymn that recognizes this is a night
yeah.
of all nights. Something right. fundamentally has changed in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
God has become man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, as the marketing guy would say, that changes everything. And it really does. I mean, that's an understatement.
Yep.
Right, that's a mystery we can't fathom.
Hmm.
That that the eternal...
And but we get to participate in.
Right. We don't have to understand. It's just is. And we get to be a part of it.
And it is. I mean, it's really a fantastic thing. Okay, so thinking about the night that changes everything. I brought two, and one of them is "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel." Mm-hmm. So do you know the story behind this?
No.
Okay. So there are. Now, I did a little bit of research before this, and I found some people saying, no, dude, that's not. So this is an open debate, perhaps, but I like it. Perhaps it will be enlightening to others as well. There are seven verses, okay? Mm-hmm. And these are the seven great antiphons. So
short,
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yes. And so, you know, you're sort of, O come, O come, root of, David, key of David, Adonai, Emmanuel, branch of, Jesse. Yeah. On Sinai's height. I'm not going to just
bright morning star,
right. I'm not going to get them right. Because in my mind, these are super old. I think 5th century or 7th century or something mm-hmm. like that. And from what I understand, the church would sing, O come, Emmanuel, is the last verse that was sung. And it was sung on the 23rd. So they would sing one per day, right? Starting on, I guess, like the 17th.
So and sort then, of a song of ascent type.
Right, exactly. And they would end on O Come Emmanuel. If you take the seven titles of Christ and you line them up, then the letters, the first letter, it's a what's that called? Like an acrostic?
Mm-hmm.
That is, the Latin is arrow cross. Which is, I will be there tomorrow, right? And so it's sort of a Christ responding to the church, right?
Yeah, yeah.
In our singing, his response is, so we sing it on the 23rd, then he comes that next night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Christmas Eve. So I like that. Like that, you know?
Well, in that older notion of Advent, which doesn't get a lot of airtime these days, outside the more liturgical churches.
Sure.
But this kind of mini Lent, this time of preparation for not just, at least in my tradition, it is both comings, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first and the yet to come second.
Right.
And this notion that our hearts ought to be prepared and ought to be ready and our wicks trimmed and our oil ready and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And the readings that my church gives us for daily prayer are rough. You know, they're the prophets, especially the Old Testament stuff. They're the prophets saying you need to make way for him. He is coming. And I think that as much as I love to meditate on what it means that he has come, It's necessary that a part of this be a meditation, and he is to come again.
Right.
You know, and it's interesting that the church celebrates a great deal. Of course, it's celebrating the historic life of Christ.
Right.
And his incarnation and his resurrection are the two big moments that we celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have a day, because we don't know what day it is,
right.
For his second coming. But we have this season where we prepare our hearts to receive the Savior that has come and is coming again.
Right.
And I love the fact that joy to the world could very easily be called an apocalyptic hymn.
Oh, yeah. Eschatological, right?
Yeah, right.
Oh, dude, the third verse, I mean, if we just start quoting lyrics, we're going to get ourselves in trouble here. But the third verse, which everyone leaves out,
because it doesn't fit Christmas.
Right. Is absolutely marvelous.
Right.
I mean, it's so
Well, there's an older Christian meditating on the meaning of Advent and putting the whole ball of wax in there.
Yeah.
And I think we've pulled it back to just his first coming. The babe in the manger is a lot easier to meditate than the lion.
Right.
Right.
The
king on his steed.
Right.
But it's all necessary. It's all they that have this hope in themselves purify themselves, right? John teaches us to meditate on his second coming as well. So
that's right.
I know I threw in there as well, in the bleak midwinter.
I do not know this one.
In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow had fallen, snow on snow, snow on snow in the bleak midwinter long ago.
Mm.
Very much like O Holy Night. There's a clear meditation in many of these hymns that that moment was really significant. And to get it, we got to go back to it. Not in a cheesy sense.
Sure.
Although there are people that I think try that. But
sure.
But in a meditative sense.
Yeah.
In a contemplative sense, in a true form of leisure, to be at ease enough to go back and go, what a world he came into.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That passage is John 1:14, I think. He came into his own, and his own knew him not.
Right.
You know, the humility of it, the manger scene, the no room in the inn, the whole.
Right.
You know, it always fascinated me as a kid that something so basic as a Charlie Brown cartoon could get my mom to tears because it's the truth.
Exactly.
It's just,
exactly.
It's the point.
Right.
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 And I think that's what it was for me. Enough for him whom cherubim worship night and day, breast full of milk and a manger full of hay. Enough for him whom angels fall before, the ox and ass and camel, which adore.
Wow.
Right. That contrast. That if I remember correctly, our first Christmas special, we spent some time on just the difference between there and here. And that he would give that up.
Right.
To be here. And
right.
To have to, you know.
Yeah.
God could have certainly made an entrance much different than what he made.
No doubt.
But he was quite purposeful in how he went about it.
Right. So this I'm going to have to incorporate this into my Christmas rotation because I don't know this hymn. But
it's a lesser known one, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. The what immediately resonates or what immediately sticks out to me is one of my favorite things about Christmas music, Christmas hymns, is what we see here, which is I really like how in much of Christmas music, man is kind of late to the party.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, guys, humanity, everything else is already rejoicing. All of creation is already shouting, right? Proclaiming and singing. So join in,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right. It's not a man boldly steps forward and leads creation in the... No,
yeah.
It's not that feel. It's
kind of the feeling I get all the time about the disciples, right?
Right.
You ninnies. You know,
yeah.
It's so easy for me to be so hard on them. I would have been the same or worse.
Sure,
but,
sure.
But you're walking around with 3 years.
Right.
On three different occasions that we know of, he says, I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to die.
Right.
But on the third day, I'm going to be raised again.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
It's like, are you all in seventh grade?
Right.
Oh, well. Yeah, I think it's a great hymn. Recommend it to you, maybe even this season, to pull it out and give it a shot.
Yeah. Good deal.
And then you brought the Christmas bar song.
Yeah. Is it? Well,
I mean, it has that feel to me. I love to sing it.
Someone who has, I mean, maybe you have something extra in your cider.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The tune.
Sure.
As with Gladness Men of Old.
It is, yeah. And
it's fun to sing.
It is.
But
it's a
deep.
Lot of fun. It is. And this one is, I think, there are some Christmas songs that are revelatory, right? That, like, it's just more about sort of letting your head spin and the beauty of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Those are awesome. Let's keep singing them.
Mm.
I think this song is perhaps more instructive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So even just the very beginning, right? As with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold, as with joy they hailed its light, leading onward beaming bright. So, most gracious Lord, may we evermore be led to thee. In that way, so then may we. Mm. Right? I like that a lot. You know, that sort of trajectory.
Well, it's the pull of tradition.
Yes.
Right?
Well said.
As with men of old.
Yep.
Why do you have to forget the good stuff they've done in the past?
Right,
you know?
Right.
They got it.
Yep.
Join them.
Right.
Walk with them.
Exactly.
Join in this. When the angel choirs appeared to the shepherds, they were appearing to all mankind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not just at that moment.
Right.
That their words are for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. A little peace and goodwill toward men is always appropriate.
That's right.
And like I said, I have fond memories of a few years ago, all the men of a school. You know, it's the last day before Christmas. We had like a special assembly and some people were going to sing one of it. But the four or five of us just all sang this song almost with no practice.
Wow.
I heard a recording of it later on. I was like, how did we pull that off?
Yeah.
And another one of them said, because we love the song.
Yeah.
We all knew it.
Yep.
And we had, one of them was playing a guitar.
Yeah.
Kind of kept us. That helps, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I just love that song. Glad you brought it with us.
Yep.
And then, you know, old little town of Bethlehem. This is pure, if I've got to be a critic, mm-hmm. it's okay.
Okay.
But it's the associations I have with it, which brings me back to my point earlier about the educational aspect of this. The stuff that has been stuck in my head mm-hmm. by experience, by liturgy, by doing, by it's just, I can't get it out.
Right, right.
It's what I tell my students when I put them through catechism. I'm not going to test you on it. I'm not going to grade you on it. I don't need to.
Yeah.
I am sticking something in your head
right.
that you can't get out with a drill. You know, you're just going to deal with the fact that for the next however many years God gives you on this earth,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have the poem Dante put over the gate to hell ringing in your
head. Mm-hmm.
Abandon all hope, ye who enter.
Right, that's right.
And so I had, that puts a great deal of import in what's selected to be put to music.
If
you realize that that's going to stick with them, that long, you're right. careful about what it is that you put in their heads.
Right.
But I just think the church hit a home run when even those who are outside the church
mm-hmm.
know a lot of these songs.
Right.
Right. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. You hear it in the stores. You hear it.
Sure.
It's funny to even at times be struck by the irony of it. That this is playing in this context with this right. going on, and I don't think they right. really have thought through
right.
what the,
like in the Mall of America, right? The, or something. Yeah. Right?
It's a, in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light.
Yeah.
I think that's so great. It's almost like a hidden code.
Yeah,
that is out in plain sight.
Right,
it's not
right.
really hidden. God's just stuck his gospel in people's minds, and it's there. It would take a lot of work.
Yeah,
to in true Stalinist fashion get that all wiped
right.
completely out of the memory of our society. It
yeah.
would take a lot of work, and he couldn't do it to his own.
Yeah,
right.
That's right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this one for me is I guess I would say one of the first hymns that I kind of knew the first verse, mm-hmm. you know, and liked it or whatever. But when I was a teenager and I started to kind of think more carefully, not a great deal more carefully, but just a little mm-hmm. bit more carefully, And I started realizing, oh, wait, there's more than one verse to this stuff. And I remember, you know, working through this and realizing, wow, they're packing a lot into these into these songs. And like you said, I mean, these three verses are not the most theologically dense lines that we have as a church. However, it was meaningful at the time and still is.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that they're not.
No, exactly.
Useful. Exactly. So a story, one of the reasons that this came to mind. So my church got a new interim priest. Mm-hmm. And in our tradition, at the end of the service, after the blessing, the cross is processed to the back of the... And typically there's a blessing or a prayer or often John 1 is read. But he was new to our group. We never had him as a priest before. And the procession ends. We're waiting for whatever words he'll give. There's kind of a... There's a prayer book blessing that is right. Most... typical. And I hear these words, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in.
Hmm.
The service is now ended.
Wow.
We all said our part. Yeah. But, I went up and I said, "That sounds really... Where is that in the prayer book?" Says, "That's the third verse of..." I said, "Oh, that's where it's from." But spoken, not sung.
Sure, sure.
I came to where... that was a very meaningful part. He was... I said, interim. He was there for probably two and a half years. And every Sunday, your soul kind of waited for that quietness. And there's a lot of... quiet, meditative, silent night and oh holy night. Mm-hmm. Well, it gets a little loud, but the, a little town and away in a manger.
Right.
These very plaintive, quiet.
Yeah.
Almost begging to be sung at midnight.
Yep.
You know, or sung at least in a meditative, quiet way. I know my mom sang Away in a Manger. It was a big tradition of my home. My mother's was quite a musician and singer, so she would sing to me at night, probably up until I was 12,
okay,
13.
Yeah,
it was just that thing.
Sure.
But every Christmas time, the month of December, every year of my life up through that point,
yeah,
was there was plenty of other songs she chose from, but December was Away in a Manger. And it was occasionally she'd pull out the song she wooed my dad with.
Wow.
When my dad first started dating her, he came to visit her and she happened to be singing a special in church on Christmas Eve.
Wow.
And he heard her sing the spiritual Sweet Little Jesus Boy.
Whoa.
And she sang it well enough for him to come back. So every once in a while.
Wow.
I think often it was when he's standing in the door, she would she'd break into that.
Yeah.
But that's the baggage
right.
that comes with song. You know, we know that there's almost every couple has their song.
Sure.
You know, or you remember the song played at your wedding,
right.
or you'll hear a song and remember some event from that.
Mm-hmm.
But Christmas is full of these family memories and these significant memories,
mm-hmm.
and this music that's very seasonal. I know a few people that get it started, like, you know, right after July 4th.
But, sure.
But for most of it, it's pretty seasonal.
Yeah.
From Thanksgiving to New Year's, you're going to hear it, and you're going to wrap your memories in it. And I think that's just a fascinating concept.
Yeah. Well, it's layered.
Yes.
Right? Like... Yeah. It doesn't set off one thing, right? But it sets off, whoosh, there it goes, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing that's particularly meaningful for me is my grandfather was a preacher and you know, he could sing, play the guitar, He played the steel guitar actually for a long time, but he played the guitar, and so we would always gather together, you know, him, the and kids and grandkids, and sing on Christmas Eve. Mm. And so, even when I am hearing these, when I'm singing these hymns, I hear the organ, right? Mm. Because I've been in churches where the organ is just mm-hmm. blowing you out the door mm-hmm. with all of its splendor. But I can also hear that guitar, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's a really special, set of songs that can
do that. Well, you use that word impression.
Yeah.
And you've got these things impressed on your memory that are precious and easy to bring back up because it's a whole package.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a thing. It's
right.
things together.
Right.
And I think that's a, yeah, especially the sung voice. You know, I'll just always have my mother's voice in my head because she and I sang together so much. Music is one of those completely worthless things
mm-hmm.
that makes life so much better.
Yep.
Right. And I know there are musicians who make a living off of it and all that. That's wonderful.
Great.
But even what they're doing
yeah.
is providing this completely useless thing
yes.
that we would never want to be without.
Right. That's right.
So it's amazing. God kind of
it's takes not that. For life, it's what you live for.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's right. It's not useful in the sense of utilitarian.
Yeah.
It's amazingly powerful
mm-hmm.
in what it is. It makes us want it. It doesn't offer itself as a thing that I'll make you rich if you
right.
have me.
Right. Thing. Right. Well, I think we could keep going, but...
there's a few more songs we could cover.
Right. But, man, how do you pin a bow on this? I don't know. I guess I would say, listener, reflect deeply, sing heartily.
One of the cool things is that we know probably more than anything else we've talked about on the podcast. We've made connections to whomever might be listening today because we share this.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
They know the Christmas music.
They do.
They're probably going, why? Why?
Yeah.
But sure. But it's fun to share it. And,
yeah.
And a common culture is a wonderful thing.
Indeed.
Go enjoy it. Thank you.